Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be speaking about the Redmi Note 8 Pro, which is a new smartphone from Xiaomi. But the larger theme of this episode is going to be how Realme has forced Xiaomi to up its game in terms of the pricing of its products. So to talk with me about all of these things, we have Aditya Shenoy.
Hello guys.
He's the person who's reviewed the Redmi Note 8 Pro and someone who's been observing the smartphone market for a long time, has reviewed a bunch of Realme phones as well, and has been a keen observer of this competition between these two companies. So I'm your host Pranay Parab, and today let's begin this episode by first talking about what happened in the past with Xiaomi's products. That'll give you some context about what's been happening in the Indian smartphone market in the budget segment right now. So first, when Xiaomi arrived in India, I think it was in 2014 or 2015. Yeah. And at that time, they launched the Mi 3, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. That was the first phone that they launched. And when they launched that smartphone, it was pretty much like a phone with very good value for money, because the specs that they offered at the price that they offered, I don't think anyone else was doing it at that time.
No.
Since then, a whole bunch of companies have come in and they've tried to ape that formula. And of late, I think Realme was a brand that was launched pretty recently. It's a part of BBK Electronics. Owns the same brand owns Vivo, owns Oppo, and also owns OnePlus. So Realme is their budget brand, which has phones under 20,000 rupees. And they've been killing it with the price, to be perfectly honest, for what their phones offer.
Yep.
And so we've sort of started feeling around maybe, what, a year and a half, 2 years ago, that Xiaomi's phones were not priced exactly amazingly well anymore. We thought that they were good value for money, but not like the time that they had arrived in India, when their pricing was just out of this world. No other phone could match them for value for money. And Realme came in about a year or so ago. And in that time, the company has launched so many phones already. And they launched it at such great price points that Xiaomi phones were no longer looking like the best value for money at any price point between, say, 8,000 to 15,000 or so. I think the Redmi Note 7 Pro was one notable exception.
Yes.
And now the Redmi Note 8 Pro offers even better specifications at a pretty crazy price, right?
Very, very aggressive pricing there. But see, what we know about Realme is it started off as a sub-brand of Oppo. And then they pretty much went on to become an independent company. So with Xiaomi, what they had done was they wanted to capture the budget segment of the market. They did try going top-end as well. But the Mi series, the Mi Mix series did not sell that well, because even the Mi series, I think the Mi 4 and all, Mi 5S never came to India, Mi 6, Mi 7, Mi 8, they're not launched in India, primarily because Xiaomi realized early on that it's been established as a budget brand and people are not looking to spend more than 20,000 rupees on that. So after it captured the sub 20,000 rupee market, it pretty much let go of the accelerator, because, well, it was pretty much on its way to becoming the number one brand in India in terms of smartphone sales. And it, I think it is there, like it's currently the number one market share leader. So that way, yes, Xiaomi did get a little complacent. They were like, okay, there's no one here to beat us. And that is when we've seen smartphones that were not as aggressively priced as, you know, we know Xiaomi phones to be. So when Realme came in, it was honestly a surprise, because what Realme did was it went straight away for the sub 10,000 rupee segment first. So I believe it was the Realme 1, I guess, the Realme, the first smartphone,
the
8990
one,
is what it was priced at, and the variant was soon discontinued sometime later.
Yeah, so Realme 2 came in. I think Realme 2 was worse than Realme 1.
Yes.
And when the Realme 2 launched, it launched at the same price as Realme 1, the base variant. And Realme 1's base variant mysteriously disappeared. And that base variant was the one with unbelievable pricing.
Absolutely. Yeah.
But the higher variant was at, I think, 8990 was the base variant, and higher variant 10990. Yeah. So 11,000 rupees.
There's a huge gap there.
Yeah.
So that way, and then what Realme did was they've launched multiple smartphones, and not only multiple smartphones but multiple series. So you've got the Realme U series, you've got the Pro series that is also running in parallel.
To be fair though, the Realme U series only has one
phone,
Realme U1.
But it's honestly, you know, I'm waiting for a successor for that particular smartphone, because it's in the sub 10,000 rupee price point
right now,
with I believe a Helio P70 a P70 SoC, full HD display. And the only thing that I was not a big fan of was that it was running ColorOS 5.2,
but it's since
updated,
been updated to 6.
So that way what they've done is they've got multiple series. So they've got the Realme X series, they've got the Realme XT, again the 3 and the 3 Pro exist, there is the 5 and the 5 Pro, the X, XT. And then when you go lower in the market space, you have the Realme 3i, so which is a watered-down version of the Realme 3. So that way, the Realme smartphone brand has given Xiaomi a really tough competition there. And when you look at smartphones like the Xiaomi Y3, or even the Xiaomi Redmi 7, the Redmi Y3 and the Redmi 7, these do not look as value for money as other Xiaomi phones. So if you plot a table wherein every Xiaomi smartphone is, say, 8 or a 9 out of 10, these are lower. They are probably a 6 or a 7 out of 10 in value for money. Not as value for money. And now what they've done is, I think they've gotten a little serious because Realme has created that buzz in the market and people... see, the smartphones are good as well because if you check out the review of the Realme X or even the Realme XT, they have a good hardware. The cameras are really good. The processors are good. I believe the Realme 5 Pro and the Realme X as well as the XT are all powered by the Snapdragon 712 SoC. So that way, it's got good hardware.
The Realme X is at 710, but the other two are at 712. So 712 is just like a slightly overclocked, upgraded version of the 710. I think the graphics performance is where
The GPU has been clocked higher as well. So that is why you see better performance in gaming. So that way, of course, when you look at... And see, this is where Realme did take some amount of market share away from Xiaomi because the Redmi Note 7 Pro is a very good smartphone with that Qualcomm Snapdragon 675, very, very powerful at that particular price point. But there is one issue with this particular processor because we've also seen it in the Samsung Galaxy M40. And I can say that when you're putting it under load, the processor tends to warm up. And that is something that the Snapdragon 710 and the 712 don't do. So if you're gaming constantly, you'll see that the Realme smartphones run at a much lower temperature. Like when you touch the back of the phone, it isn't as warm to the touch as the Redmi Note 7 Pro gets. So that way they had an advantage there. And in this particular price point, you usually have college going kids who, the only purpose for them to use a smartphone is to play games on it. And that segment is something that Realme was capturing. So Xiaomi did have to get back into the market with aggressive pricing, and the result is the Redmi Note 8 and even the Redmi Note 8 Pro, which is honestly very, very well priced for the kind of specification it offers. I would say that Xiaomi is also short MediaTek in the process, but I think it's another discussion altogether.
Yeah, true that. Now with the Redmi Note 8, I don't think we got that for review, but that's the more affordable version of this phone. The Redmi Note 8 Pro is slightly more expensive. So the pricing of the Redmi Note 8 Pro starts at 14,999, if I'm not mistaken. Now this phone has three variants at 14,999 or 990. I forgot the exact thing. Yeah. Maybe like there may be a 9 rupee error in what I'm saying. I'm sorry about that. But anyway, so 14,999 for the base variant, which is 664, 6GB RAM and 64GB storage. And then there is another variant.
15,999 for 6GB RAM, 128GB of storage. And then you straight away go to 17,999 for 8GB of RAM and 128GB of storage. And in this particular price point, what Xiaomi says that a micro SD card is something that people really care about. That is why what they've done is they've added a micro SD card slot because this the card slot was missing on the Chinese version of the smartphone. So it kind of also tells you that Xiaomi is taking this market a bit more seriously. It's never denied that it's not taking the Indian market seriously. But again, when you have competitors like Realme really breathing down their throat there. So,
Yeah, I mean, that micro SD card thing was kind of funny because in the Mi A2, which is their Android One phone, it was missing. So I guess they learned it from there. And secondly, we should not forget that the Redmi Note 7 and the Redmi Note 7 Pro had a hybrid dual SIM slot.
Yes, and so, that again, it kind of works a few people who want that storage there. See, there are a couple of other changes in the Redmi Note 8 Pro as well. So usually you see smartphones in the sub 15,000 rupee segment to have eMMC storage. This has UFS 2.1, which is again, it's a good addition. So your read write
speeds
are
faster.
Better.
Read write speeds, if you're copying things to the phone, etc., much faster it happens. Now, second thing to highlight here is that this phone uses the MediaTek Helio G90T processor, which is a new one that I haven't seen before in other phones. So we can talk about the performance of that in a bit. Okay. But what I want to highlight first is that Realme XT is the phone that this one is competing with. Now, Realme XT launched with this particular rear camera setup: 64 megapixel primary, 8 megapixel ultra wide, 2 megapixel depth, and 2 megapixel macro.
I think I've heard it again somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. Because,
yes, that is exactly what Redmi did. So Note 8 Pro has got the exact same camera setup, 64, which is, I think it's a Samsung GM1 sensor. So 64 megapixel, which clicks photos at 16 megapixels by default. So it does a 4-in-1 pixel binning. And that is how it clicks most photos. You can still click at full resolution. Other than that, 8 megapixels wide angle with a 120 degree field of view. the 2 is a depth sensor and the other 2 megapixel is a macro camera.
Now, we've said it before and we'll probably say it again. The macro camera is a fun thing for some creative shots, but the novelty factor of that camera, in my opinion at least, wears off really soon.
Well, I think I'll use it for a week and then forget about it entirely. Yeah.
So, that's the real problem with, you know, having these 4 cameras over there. So, while companies have figured out that putting multiple cameras in there is a good thing, they haven't exactly figured out the right combination that works. Because we've seen, I think, Google Pixel 4, which is not launching in India, launch with a telephoto only in a dual camera setup. Whereas we've seen the iPhone 11 Pro, say, having an ultra-wide and a telephoto.
Absolutely. See, because what this is something that the OnePlus 7T Pro does is that it does not have a macro camera, but it uses the wide-angle sensor to help you go really close and click macro shots. So the AI automatically puts it into macro mode and it switches to the wide-angle camera. That is something you can do. But primarily because in the sub 20,000 rupees segment, these manufacturers are kind of compelled to show hardware as, you know, okay, we are offering so much of hardware at a low price to, I think, pull customers in their direction. So that is one of the reasons I think they're going with this kind of, approach. And again, when you look at the 8 megapixel wide angle camera on this as well, it's okay. It does not give you great shots compared to what the primary camera can does. It can do. It does lose out on a few details. And yeah, I think the macro was just positioned so that they do not miss out on anything compared to the Realme X10. That was the main reason for the macro to be included, is what I feel.
Yeah, I mean, what I would like to see in the future is that this depth sensor should be eliminated. They should put a telephoto camera over there and use that.
Yes, I would agree. The depth sensor, you don't need a depth sensor, honestly. You can use the wide-angle sensor to measure depth, because you basically need 2 sensors pointed in the same direction to figure out depth. So that depth sensor can be eliminated completely. Now, what Redmi has done with the Note 8 Pro is that it does give you 2x zoom, but that is digital. And their explanation is that since it's a 64 megapixel sensor itself, even if you zoom into it, you're not going to lose much on detail. And I've checked it again, not much of a difference there. Of course, the color, because you know you're digitally zooming in 2x, it meters light again. So you might see a slight shift in a color tone there, but apart from that, nothing really there. But I agree with you that depth sensor needs to go. It's pointless, you know, it's just occupying space there on the smartphone.
Yeah, exactly. So this is my problem with these phones. Now, while Realme is definitely pushing Xiaomi here, having 4 cameras in a phone is not necessarily a good thing. You should be able to use it properly also. I'm not a huge fan of how these companies make their camera apps even now. So not even Realme or Xiaomi. I don't think either of them have cracked it yet. None of these UIs are really like smooth. Now, we've seen some of these. I think Oxygen OS has a decent camera app. Google Camera itself is a pretty decent app that way. And although, like, to be perfectly fair, we haven't tested the Google Camera app with a dual camera phone yet, because the Pixel 3 and the 3A had a single rear camera. So
yeah. And the 4 isn't coming, right?
Yeah, and the 4 isn't coming to India. So there's that. And the iPhone's camera app must be commended, absolutely, because it keeps things simple. And it, even though there are multiple camera lenses there, we spoke to our editor, Kunal, who's used the iPhone 11 Pro Max. And he was saying that, you know, it's been done pretty seamlessly. Switching between different modes, etc., is not hidden inside some menus and all that.
Exactly. So that is one issue I had with the Redmi Note 8 Pro as well, because what they've done is, at least the switching between the wide angle, the primary, and the 2x digital zoom, it's an easy toggle right at the bottom of the the camera app there, the viewfinder. But switching to the macro, what they've done is they've put a toggle at the top right next to the AI button. So at times I honestly got confused. I thought that AI has detected the flower I was clicking, where in fact it was an icon for the macro to switch to the macro camera.
Yes, the same problem we've seen with the Realme XT as well.
Exactly.
Where on screen they show you that thing that, you know, you should probably switch to the macro camera or something. Mm-hmm. But you and I can figure it out, because, you know, we've been using so many phones and we are sort of tech savvy, I guess. But a lot of people out there will be wondering, okay, what is this new thing?
And that is another thing as well. I don't think this Redmi Note 8 Pro suggested to switch to the macro camera. I remember the Motorola One Macro I reviewed that did, but this didn't.
Yeah, so
that's another
lot of rough edges required in the UI. But were you happy with the camera quality overall?
See, I would say in terms of camera quality, I was happy with it, because it clicks good photos in daylight. That is what I think most smartphones and under 15,000 rupees are capable of doing it right now. Low light is where the main test is. Wide angle, like I said, it will give you a wide field of view, but it does miss out on details, and that is something you cannot really fix. Now, low light, what I've seen is that it does give you good detail. Even text that is at a distance, if you zoom in, it is like you can still figure out what's written on, say, shop hoardings or whatever. And so that is good there. The night mode, what it does is it does help you get a brighter image. And that's about it. In terms of detail, it is very much similar to what the AI assisted normal photo mode does. So it's just a brighter image in night mode. Macros is something really good. Okay, macros and even close up using the primary camera, it's really good. When you're clicking, so it manages very good suppression. So if you're clicking flowers, it gives a natural bokeh effect to, yeah. Around the subject. A subject is really sharp with well-defined edges. And that is something I really like. I'll show you a photo as well. And apart from that, the macro sensor, it is handy. But again, what happens is if you get really close, so Xiaomi has figured it out. And if you look at the Redmi Note 8 Pro, they have put the macro sensor right below the flash. And their logic behind that was that if you go really close to an object while you're clicking the photo, you're either going to cast your shadow on it or the phone's shadow on it, which will cause it to become darker. So you can toggle the flash on to create, to just throw some light on the object. While this will help you click a macro, because it'll cause the image to be a little warmer as well, primarily because you have a flash pointed towards it and it's at a distance of what, 2 centimeters, 3 centimeters max.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're not going to be able to change that. So the color tone is going to be a bit off, but you will be able to get a macro shot. And I've clicked a couple of macros, really good result there. So that way, I think the cameras is really good. Video recording maxes out at 4K 30 on the primary sensor. It's got 1080p 30, 1080p 60 shooting modes, slow motion there as well. In daylight, footage is very well stabilized, not a problem. Low light is where I wasn't really fond of it, primarily because you could see a shimmer effect, and that is where I think it needs a few tweaks there. Apart from that, no real big complaints from
the Redmi. Yeah, I mean, for 15,000, then I think they've done a pretty good job.
They have. Overall. See, because even when we reviewed the Redmi Note 7 Pro, it had an impressive camera. It only had a dual camera setup, 48 megapixel primary and a 5 megapixel depth sensor, but even that clicked good photos. With this, I would say if you even eliminate the macro and look at the primary three cameras that they've given, I think it's a good combination that you get for this particular price point.
All right, so let's come back to the point that was promised to our listeners, the processor.
MediaTek.
Yeah, so MediaTek Helio G90T.
Yeah.
How does it fare? Where does it stand in the processor pecking order?
Okay, so honestly, when a MediaTek launched the G90T, I think it was pretty much advertised as a gaming processor, and that is what I think the G stands for as well. So gaming processor there, and I think MediaTek might have had a 20 to say a 30,000 rupee price point in mind while they were revealing
designing,
this processor, because they said it's a high-end processor. And when I said that, Xiaomi has pretty much shot MediaTek is by bringing this at a 15,000 rupee price point. And the issue with this is that it's more powerful than the Qualcomm Snapdragon 730. In our benchmark test, you can see it. So I'm pretty much saying that the G90T is more powerful than the Redmi K20 here,
which is priced at 22,000.
Yeah, so it is more powerful than, and the benchmarks are, prove that it is faster. However, I would say that you will be able to play games and all at high settings. Default for PUBG is high. Call of Duty Mobile, again, it default settings. I don't recollect going into the graphics menu and checking what it is running at, but it was really seamless. No issues there at all. But the device tends to get warm.
Mm.
So if you're playing it at, say, graphics set to high or HD on PUBG Mobile and frame rate set to high, it gets warm to the touch. And if you bump it, you can bump it up further with HDR and ultra frame rate. And then, boy, that gets really warm. After like 20 minutes, 30 minutes of gameplay, it does get warm. So it is a powerful processor. But again, I think it's got a similar characteristic like the 675, wherein if you're gaming for a really long time, it will get warm to the touch. And that's the top of the phone. So what Xiaomi says they've done is they've used liquid cooling, which was used on the Poco F1. And they've used a bigger chamber as well. But again, the device gets warm. So I'm not sure if it's working as effectively as they've hoped for.
Yeah, but overall, a decent performance. However, heating issues.
Yeah, heating, I think, was there. And it's very, very close in terms of performance to the Snapdragon 730G. Also beats it in a few tests, except, I think, graphics. But 730G is, again, I'm mentioning 730G here for two reasons. One, that it's a powerful processor that's found in phones like the Reno 2. which are around 35,000 rupees.
Mm.
And the second reason is that Realme is planning to launch the Realme XT730G.
Yeah.
So that'll be interesting on how they're going to price that. And I'm waiting for it now.
Yeah, maybe they got a discount on the processor because they put it in the name of the phone itself.
Probably. Who knows? You never know. You know, yeah. It'll be interesting to see how the 730G handles thermals on the XT.
Mm.
Because with Reno 2, again, I did not have major issues. Like, you know, the heat, it wasn't evident when you're gaming on it. Well, any smartphone, if you're gaming for more than 30 minutes, will get slightly warm to the touch or even warm to the touch. This thing gets hot if you're, again, pushing it to the limit. But apart from that, again, the Helio, Mediatek Helio G90D is the same. Battery efficiency is somewhere I'm not really happy with it, because even in our loop test, it did not pose great numbers. And regular usage, I would say after, say, 24 hours of use, I had 40% battery left. And again, I was gaming as well at that point. So I would say efficiency is something it can do better.
Yeah, much better. Honestly, that's, you know, maybe like the biggest complaint so far. Yeah. And we still haven't complained about ads on Xiaomi phones, which is, you know, perennial complaint, right? Yeah. So anyway, MIUI 10 based on Android 9 Pie is the software on this, on the Redmi Note 8 Pro. Now, sad thing is that MIUI 11 has been announced, and this is not coming to the Redmi Note 8 Pro until at least December, at least according to Xiaomi, which is kind of surprising because somebody had posted like timeline online, and some older phones were getting the MIUI 11 update a little before the Redmi Note 8 Pro. Which is honestly surprising. I think they should have launched it with the newer UI. But then again, most people will not really notice the difference.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, it still has all those ads and spammy notifications that you get with all MIUI phones.
Yes. So I'll tell you this again, they've taken a slight Samsung-like approach. So while you're setting it up, if you pay attention, there is, like, you know, wallpaper carousel thing that you can uncheck.
Mm-hmm.
And personalized ad recommendation, something you can uncheck. So that is one thing there. So if you uncheck that, ads are slightly lower. Now, whenever you're installing a new app from the Google Play Store, in the installation menu or where the process is going on, you'll see an ad there. And you can go into the settings and disable it. Now, apps by default, it's got a couple of Xiaomi apps pre-installed as well. Now, unless and until you click them, they're not going to launch or show you apps, ads. So, Mi Music, Mi Video are the two major culprits. And on every smartphone, Redmi smartphone that I've reviewed, I make it a point to at least go and open it once. Because that's the default music and video app, and it shows you spammy notifications to the extent that I can say you pretty much get at least two notifications, if not more, from each app in the day.
Yeah, and again, these are also like, it's not like, you know, all these notifications are safe for work or are very appropriate. Some of them have known to be, like, especially in the fashion and beauty categories.
Yes.
Some of these notifications have known to have thumbnails that you'd rather not, you know, want to see on your phone at all.
Yes, it so, can go to that extent. And yeah, you'll have to explain to whoever has checked your phone.
Yeah, why are you getting such notifications? So that is just a, like, you know, minor side effect. Honestly, this should not be happening at all in the first place. But Xiaomi has gone to extraordinary lengths to defend this. We even asked them about it directly. I don't think this problem is going to go away anytime soon, unless you buy the more expensive phones where it'll be a little less than this.
Yes. Otherwise, what I would suggest is that you can try disabling the app. However, I don't remember, or switch off notifications entirely for these apps. So what you can do is, say for Mi Video, you can only uninstall updates. You cannot, you know, disable it. But I think you can go ahead and switch off notifications completely. But again, this is for people who would ideally know where to go and what to look for, because the settings menu in the on Xiaomi smartphones is a little confusing as well. So
that, probably by choice.
Yes, probably by choice.
Yeah, so because this is like their post-purchase monetization strategy, right? So I don't think they want to give away that free money they are getting after you buy the phone. Anyway, so are there any closing thoughts about the Redmi Note 8 Pro that you would like to share?
See, what I would say is, it's a very good smartphone. Like, it's built well. Corning Gorilla Glass at the front and the back. They've put in an HDR display there as well. Quad camera setup, I would say it's good. Again, macro sensor, I'll forget about it probably after a week. Battery life, battery capacity is good. Battery life is okay, because again, battery life is completely subjective. It depends on what you're doing. If I stop gaming on this smartphone, use it as, you know, as a normal person would, mainly for calls, WhatsApp and stuff, this will last me beyond a day and a half. But if I'm going to do what Xiaomi is advertising it for, like if I game on it, then yes, I'll have to keep it plugged in. Big battery, 4500 mAh, that's good. 18 watt charger bundled, again, great. And I think Xiaomi is back with the aggressive price you know, strategy that they had done in the past. And it's only a win-win situation for the customer, because other manufacturers, if I look at, say, the Motorola smartphones, they're priced better now. If I look at even Samsung smartphones, the Galaxy M30s, for instance, it's a very well-priced smartphone. You know, when you consider what all they offer, and if you look at historic Samsung smartphone pricing, it's better. So I think it's a good direction that it's taking the smartphone market into, and customers ultimately won't have to spend a huge sum to get a decent working smartphone.
Yeah, only complaint as always is that these phones are sold via flash sales. Yeah, ad so is there only after you buy the phone. But even before you buy the phone, well, flash sale model is something that I'm not a fan of. And it's something that's been continuing for so many years now that at this point, we just believe that it's a part of their marketing strategy. Just bring in a limited number of units at first, and or maybe, you know, just put up a limited number of units on sale so that you can show that, okay, it's sold out and people want it, and create that hype.
Yeah, I would say that if you have any smartphone, see, unless you are desperate to get it the very next day, just sit around, because most of these Xiaomi smartphones will be on open sale in a month, not beyond that. Because with the current rate, we've seen one new smartphone launching every week, pretty much. You know, for the past 2 months, if you see, it's at least one smartphone that is launched every week. And the marketing, it's not going to be able to, you know, get that much attention, because every other company is also spending on marketing there. So that way, 1 month, I would say that these devices will be up on open sale, and that is when you can simply pick it up, and, you know, at the same price. Does not make sense.
Yeah, exactly. So wait a bit. Don't have to rush into buying the latest phone. If you wait a little bit, then this marketing cycle will also be away, and hopefully you can buy a good phone without having to wait unnecessarily.
Yeah.
So with that, we'll conclude this episode, and we'll be back with one more episode next week. In the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. Send us your questions, comments, feedback at podcast@gadgets360.com. And finally, let's not forget, if you're using any podcast app such as Apple Podcasts on your iPhone or Google Podcasts on your Android phone, then you can rate the show, review it, subscribe to it. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening.